Theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
And now it's time for another Christmas special. I hope it is anyway. Is it Christmas?
It is actually, yeah.
Okay.
I promised Fern Cotton that I would dedicate this one to her.
Why?
Today. I don't know, we were having a discussion about tap end, and today's one is about Christmas time in Watford. And she's experienced that many times.
She has.
So as a point, I'd like to dedicate this to Fern Cotton, BBC Radio 1's very own.
Is she mentioned in the story?
No, not
just,
at all.
Just a dedication.
Not even referred to.
Well, are you keen?
I'm Frankeen Sensational.
I'm blowing my nose on a Kleenex tissue.
And because it's Christmas, I'm Rage Against the McKean.
Oh, lovely.
Do you think these will ever run out?
Yes, I'm running out now.
Okay, I'm taking you to the 17th year at the Tap End. We're all keen. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Ready. 'Twas three nights before Christmas, and all over the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Me and the lads were playing a bit of a generic football game that rhymes with Queen Latifah. And as always, it was getting a bit tense.
What's that?
I've got no idea.
Latifah.
Oh, right, yeah.
FIFA.
Yeah.
You say it quickly.
You're like Scott when he eats. If you do it really quickly, you think it doesn't count. If I turn my back to you and put this entire donut in one mouth, all the calories won't be there when I turn back round.
I do that, don't I?
You do. And I sometimes wish you just eat it slowly, because then you'd appreciate it and you wouldn't eat another one 10 minutes later.
I think if I eat it really fast and it doesn't actually count towards calories, I don't think it works like that, does it?
We play a lot of this game, and several rules have developed between us regarding acceptable practice. One time, when I was beating Dougsy 6-0, he turned off the console halfway through the game. I refused to talk to him for 3 days. When we would fall out, I would get my action with strangers over the internet.
Eh?
Although there is nothing more frustrating.
No, whoa, that's a bit weird.
No, I mean that because you can play online now.
Right. Is that safe and secure?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Although there is nothing more frustrating, and in my opinion wrong, then when you are beating someone online and they quit by turning off their console and losing the connection, it's cowardice to the absolute extreme, and anyone that does it should be ashamed. There's no pride in this dirty tactic.
It's a bit like when people turn the board game upside down when it's not going their way.
It's the equivalent of...
There's always someone there at Christmas doing that.
It's infuriating. You know what? I'd have so much more respect for you if you just played the full 90 minutes and take your beating. Me, Dougsy and Webbo were playing a lot of this game, as it was winter time, and being 17, we weren't able to get into pubs, really. It was an exciting time being the run-up to Christmas, though. Christmas trees were up, and there was a pleasant Christmassy atmosphere about. I was yet to do my Christmas shopping, but with 3 days to go, there was plenty of time. My only issue was budget. I had no money. I knew that some of my Christmas presents were going to involve craft, or a loan from my parents to ensure that I had something to give them. That's how it used to have to work.
What, you'd make stuff?
No, so I'd borrow money off my parents to buy them presents.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any.
Just tell them to keep the money, innit?
Well, it would have been easier, but you know how it is. You need to give presents on Christmas, don't you?
I like the idea of you doing craft.
Mm.
I can't quite imagine it.
Are you not like Watford's Kirsty Allsop?
I'm not very good at craft. Never have been. There was a hardware store in Pinner that I could get most of the stuff for my family. A mop for my mum or a screwdriver set for my dad.
A mop?
That kind of thing. Well, it's difficult.
Your mum a mop?
It's difficult to buy for women, isn't it?
Right, well, yeah.
No, not really. Avoid all cleaning products. No,
that's awful.
No, I'm just saying for a hardware store, if you're going just for the hardware store because it's a bit cheaper, you can only buy certain things for certain people.
Yeah, but most hardware stores have chocolate at the counter.
Yeah, but you can't...
It's better than a mop.
Chewing gum.
It's better than a mop.
I can't believe you bought your mum a mop for Christmas.
Wait, I wouldn't
get
rude.
No,
it's not rude. And I know what you're thinking. There's nothing sexist about it. Otherwise, it's just more suited, isn't it? You'd buy your dad the screwdriver set. You wouldn't buy your mum a screwdriver set.
There's nothing sexist about it, but it's more suited. You wouldn't buy your mum a screwdriver set. Right. Okay, good. All right.
Despite the lack of opportunities...
Did you make her mop up on Christmas Day?
No.
Were you sick on the kitchen floor just to give her something to do?
Despite the lack of opportunities to really do stuff as a 17-year-old in Pinner, there was one night we all focused on and looked forward to. Destiny and Watford were doing their Christmas under-18 night, and it was looking big. It's fair to say everyone was going. An artist called Raghav was performing a live set, which was very exciting.
I don't know them.
I do.
He did a song called Angel Eyes.
Yep.
And there was going to be a live DJ set from a group called Three of a Kind, who were to be performing one of the greatest songs of all time, Baby Cakes.
You do love that one.
I used to love that song so much.
Awful.
And I still do now.
It's awful.
The other great thing with the night was that since the summer, fit girls were pretty much in hibernation. In the summer, there were loads about, but come winter, everyone is covered up.
And not in some parts of the country, because I was out in Wigan last weekend and they all still looked hot.
Were they?
They were in exactly the same outfits that they were in August. Mm.
I must go to Wigan.
Yeah.
To Wigan. Let's go.
Head for the north, my friend.
It's like Lord of the Rings. To Wigan.
To Wigan.
We got the train from Pinner to Watford Met Station. I remember it well. There was a strong smell of Africa in the air.
That smell en masse can be suffocating.
Mm.
It's like a boys' changing room. Mm.
As we rounded the corner of... That would have been a good name for a boy band, wouldn't it? The boys' changing room. No, actually,
no. Because the smell from that is gross.
How do you know, please?
Because you just have to walk past it to get to the girls' one.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm. I know what you're up to. Yeah. As we rounded the corner of the town centre, the queue for the club stretched far down the road. There was a ridiculous amount of people, and we joined straight up to the back. About an hour later, we walked through the doors to the club and walked inside.
An hour?
Yeah, it took ages to get in.
Big night.
It was incredible. After about half an hour or so, I was on the way back from the toilets when I saw this really good-looking girl. She seemed really familiar and was dressed in a Santa outfit. She was with a small group of girls, but as she caught my eye, it really bugged me because I knew her from somewhere. Weirdly, I kind of thought that she was looking at me the same way. It was only when I got back to Dougsy and Webbo and told them about it that I realised that it was the girl I danced with at my Year 8 disco. A girl for this chapter that I will call Gladys.
Not her real name, no.
So it's really weird. No, of course not. But do you remember, we've talked about, it was one of my chapters at the Tap In from my Year 8 disco, which was a huge moment.
Mm.
And it was this girl. She was back.
Right. So like, what, 3 or 4 years later?
Yeah. And she looked very different. She'd gone through changes. I proper liked this girl, but we fell out of touch, and a couple of years had since passed. She looked different, but I was sure it was her. Me and my mates went upstairs, but by the time we got there, she was gone. Me, Dougsy and Webbo propped up the bar most of the night. I don't particularly remember the set from Raghav, but I remember hearing Baby Cakes come on, and everyone piling onto the dance floor. At midnight, the DJ announced that we were going to pretend it was Christmas, and there was a big countdown, because it was like 3 days before, because it was an under-18 one, it wasn't the actual Christmas Eve.
So we were pretending it's Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have to stay there for 3 days?
No, just that night.
Oh, right. He starts and he's like, 29,000.
No. The countdown was like 5, 4. There was such a good atmosphere. Everyone was having a great time. And as the DJ pressed play on Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, the crowd went nuts. There was a snow machine that went off, absolutely covering the club. And as everyone was jumping, people were grabbing randoms, and it was getting emotional. I was in the middle of a Mariah Carey mosh pit when I looked to my left.
Who never thought that would happen?
And then I saw her, Gladys, across the dance floor. For the next few songs, though, I couldn't stop looking at her. She was having a great time. Blokes would go close to her, but she would just smile and carry on dancing with her friends. Dougsy and Webbo just looked on as I walked over, just as the music was changing. If you have the audio tape for this biography, press play now.
Oh. Okay. I love this song.
This is it.
Ah. Oh.
Kind of emotional.
This says Christmas to me.
As I walked near to her, her mate saw me and nudged her.
Everybody's got something they had to leave behind.
She turned around and said, "Hi, Chris." I was surprised she actually knew my name.
It just seems to grow with time.
She asked what I'd been up to and how school was and all that. I didn't have much to say back, and really out of character to me, I asked her if she'd like to dance. I sort of shot myself. Maybe it was the Red Bull talking.
How many did you add?
I'd add a few.
Mm. Oh, I thought that was a nickname for something.
No. It was,
like what you call...
You could only have soft drinks. Oh. But she smiled and said yes. I never had a dream come true. Adrenaline ran through my body, but unlike when we danced in year 8, I knew what I had to do. Instead of putting my hands on her shoulders, I put my hands on her waist. And she put her hands on my shoulders. What's wrong, Becky?
I don't know. It's just takes like the romance out of it a bit.
Well, no. What happened in year 8? Is
I knew what I had to do.
She put her hands on my shoulders, and I put my hands on her shoulders.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were like dancing zombies.
Really awkward.
And then we danced. It felt amazing. I could see her mates pointing, and I could only imagine what Dougsy and Webbo were thinking. I gave them the thumbs up.
Girls love it when you do that.
The end of the night came so quickly, though, but we promised to stay in touch and meet up again soon, which we did. Somewhere in my memory. But I haven't spoken to her for years now, and I hope she's all right. I often think about that night. It had been a great party, and I guess they were right. There really is no party like an S Club party. Merry Christmas.
Do you have a message for her if she's listening for Gladys?
Hi, Gladys.
Hi, Gladys. Hope you're all right. Hope life's treating you well. Regards. Chris.
June. I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
This is Scott Mills on BBC Radio 1.